Continuing Helen Wright's book, Mary Baker Eddy, Leader Forever.
Where are the 57 typewritten pages prepared by the committee that included Albert Gilmore, W. Stuart Booth, Violet Carsymore, Duncan Sinclair, and George Shaw Cook? Why have those 57 pages remained hidden by subsequent boards obviously hostile to Mary Baker Eddy? Why has this 57-page document, so important in unifying the field with regard to how Mrs. Eddy's followers regard her, never been made public? On this issue of Mary Baker Eddy's fulfillment of scriptural prophecy, no genuine Christian Scientist can remain in the closet and fail to make a choice. Choose ye to stand with your leader's own recognition and assessment of herself, just as Jesus urged his disciples to stand with his own recognition of himself. Perhaps some of the 57 pages would contain the following pertinent material. Jesus said, "When the Comforter is come, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth." The truth people in his day were not yet ready for, as they were just coming out of mythology. Similarly, Mrs. Eddy states, "The science of physical harmony, as now presented to the people in divine light, is radical enough to promote as forcible collisions of thought as the age has strength to bear." She had to veil much that she wrote about, but today change, often unexpected, is the overwhelming phenomenon of our age, and we are seeing more clearly our way to the finish line. Mrs. Eddy's discovery and revelation is a final revelation. There will be no third coming, Mrs. Eddy affirmed. In a letter Mrs. Eddy wrote to her devoted students, the Millers, she said, "Today, it is a marvel to me that God chose me for this mission, and that my life work was the theme of ancient prophecy, and I the scribe of his infinite way of salvation." Ivan Gualter, CSB, wrote, "Prophecy comes to glorious fulfillment in the advent of Mary Baker Eddy, who, in fulfillment of prophecy, typifies the spiritual idea symbolized by the woman in the 12th chapter of the Apocalypse." Mrs. Eddy's discovery was not the product of human reason, but of divine revelation. She speaks of herself as a scribe under orders, whose orders came from heaven. But she was more than a person transcribing a heavenly message. Her spiritual stature transcends mortal measurements. She is one with the revelation. Through her, the revelation speaks. Albert F. Gilmore, CSB, wrote, "Her works furnish positive proof of her position as the revelator, the woman representative of the Christ in this age, through whom the prophecy of the second coming has been fulfilled. There is abundant proof that Mrs. Eddy was definitely aware of her unique work. She knew Jesus' parable of the leaven, which a woman hid in 3 measures of meal, foretold the second appearing in the flesh of the Christ truth." Because Mrs. Eddy was well aware of her divine mission, she warned, "No greater mistake can be made than to disobey or delay to obey a single message of mine. God does speak through me to this age. This I discern more clearly each year of my sojourn with you. When a student loses the true sense of me and what I do, he is at the threshold of the plunge so many make into darkness, believing that darkness is a greater light. I thank God for your faith in him and your true sense of me. Why? Because in over 1/4 of a century, I have never in one single instance seen these fail to carry a student safely on in growth and prosperity. But in every single instance, the loss of these mental conditions has wrecked that student. Yes, you may give me the title that God has given, Discoverer and Founder. It will do much towards steadying the minds in the present and future. Only I beg of you to be temperate in using it. Be wise as the serpents that it will cause to hiss. A moderate reminder of this great point of history is needed, and will be so long as time lasts. First, it shows the advent of God's expressed motherhood. Second, it shows the fact that destroys the falsehood. Third, it is God's order of showing to the human race the divine dispensation of Christian Science. Will you see? Can you see me as I am? Unquote. In her memoirs, Sue Harper Mims records Mrs. Eddy's statement, "When my students become blinded to me as the one through whom truth has come to this age, they go straight down." We have seen this happen today as the death throws a sail the once mighty Boston Colossus. Of course, to a large extent, the Christian Science movement has gone straight down, because too many Christian Scientists have acquiesced in the board of directors' poorly disguised swindle of our rights in their claim to be Mrs. Eddy's successor. The instantaneous healings that took place during Mrs. Eddy's time and for a few decades longer in the momentum she built up have temporarily almost disappeared. Nevertheless, her discovery and revelation is continuing to transform the universe as Mrs. Eddy knew it would. A small instance of this would be if 60 years ago you told someone it's all in the mind, it would have been hailed as ridiculous. Today, people who have absolutely no spiritual training, know nothing of Christian Science, look you straight in the eye and say, "It's all in the mind, you know." This is progress. Bliss Knapp's book, The Destiny of the Mother Church, is currently adding still more to the woes of the beleaguered, exposure-racked Boston hierarchy as this hierarchy drifts irretrievably toward the bottomless abyss of self-damnation. That's from Miss Lenny. Mr. Knapp's book contains a chapter concerning Mrs. Eddy as fulfilling Bible prophecy regarding the woman of the apocalypse. This was the view accepted by all loyal Christian Scientists during Mrs. Eddy's time, and actually until about 1950. This stir and confrontation today shows how convincing has been the monstrous lie and how far afield the interlopers, the enemy in our midst, have led the entire Christian Science movement with regard to Mrs. Eddy as our forever leader, and her fulfillment of scriptural prophecy in bringing the second coming of the Christ. Mr. Knapp states, "Mrs. Eddy, in her human experience, represented the woman of the apocalypse. For as Mrs. Eddy states in Science and Health, page 565, the Christ idea was represented first by man and, according to the Revelator, last by woman." Perhaps foreseeing the furor that today is raging over Mr. Knapp's book, which heralds Mary Baker Eddy as the woman who has fulfilled scriptural prophecy, Mrs. Eddy prophetically wrote to Mr. Knapp, "My beloved student, I call you mine conscientiously, for God has given you to me, and sometimes the world will know this better even than it does now." Disaster stalks in wake of not seeing Mrs. Eddy rightly. Yes, had Christian Scientists sincerely, en masse, acknowledged Mrs. Eddy as fulfilling Jesus' prophecy to St. John, instead of being beguiled by Boston's siren wiles to acknowledge them, the board of directors, as their leader, it would not have been necessary for the fraudulent Boston hierarchy to announce June 8th, quote, "We will want to think together about whether our movement is in danger of being lost." Reported in the New London Day, June 9, 1992. As previously noted, neither would the establishment media finally find the Boston hierarchy front page news, with dozens of reporters barking at the board's heels. as all the unraveling threads of the burgeoning scandal are being tied together, the truth concerning the lie, as Mrs. Eddy urged, is being told. And presently, the Christian Science movement will be revitalized and universally recognized as it carries on its great healing mission. The world is learning fast, with all the media exposure today being given to Blissnap's book, and Mrs. Eddy's prophecy regarding him is definitely being fulfilled. His book seems to be a catalyst in bringing to world notice Mrs. Eddy's fulfillment of scriptural prophecy. All must finally come to see that Christian Science is true, that it is truth itself, and was revealed and given to the world by its discoverer and founder, who was the one, the only person, who knew enough to discover it. In the waning days of the 20th century, the covers are pulled back on the Boston behemoth that has for so long been the object of dread among the sheep. Let us hope that today's disclosures and exposures mark the last episode in this sorry spectacle. Quote, "Only as we recognize the Revelator can we understand and obey the revelation." As the prophecies of Jesus and of John were fulfilled through Mary Baker Eddy, so must we, her followers, do our part in fulfilling her prediction for the 20th century. How the Christian Science movement will revive. Entirely separate from the belief and dream of material living, from the belief of a material Christian Science church organization, is the life divine, reality. Material organization was necessary only in the beginning, because among other things, people were programmed to go to a church on Sundays. What is the real need? Obviously, understanding. Jesus made this point clear when he said, "Ye shall know the truth, gain the understanding." Only understanding can free us from the thraldom of believing that matter is anything other than spirit incorrectly viewed. Spirit is all, so what looks like matter has to be spirit misconceived. When you actually realize this, you are letting your light, understanding, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the truth you are manifesting, not a religion or a church organization that promotes it. Christian scientists who have digested what is in their textbook should be a light in their own everyday world. Only by letting their light so shine before men that they may see your good works can the Christian Science movement be revived. The time for thinkers has come. And if we keep our mind and awareness on the truth of being, we can benefit everyone our thoughts rest upon. This individual knowing and realization of divine reality is truly the only way to revive the Christian Science movement. You and I, as Christian Scientists, are always alone with our own being and with the reality of things. Are we benefiting all that our thoughts rest upon by keeping our minds so filled with truth and love that sin, disease, and death cannot enter them? If so, we are doing our part in reviving the Christian Science movement. We, as Christian Scientists, have been given all the instruction, all the tools necessary to bring heaven down to earth, to realize heaven's ever-presence because of infinite good's omnipresence. Are we today using the truth we have been taught? It has absolutely nothing to do with material church organization, but everything to do with dematerializing spirit, that is, viewing correctly what looks like matter. Matter is an incorrect view of spirit. Mrs. Eddy and Jesus beheld in science the perfect man, who appeared to them where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." What greater gift can you give to anyone than to behold them as they actually are in reality? Behold them as God, infinite good, individually expressed. What we are looking at is always something that identifies God. This must be so, since God, infinite good, is all. The more the world awakens to these great spiritual facts, the sooner the Christian Science movement will revive. The secret of Christian Science is that God, infinite good, appears as you and me. If God is all, and your life is ageless, endless, birthless, deathless, and is the reflection of God, then in reality, did you not also appear on the first day of creation in Genesis 1? If principle and its idea is one, and you are one with that one, then can it be otherwise? This again is why Mrs. Eddy could say, "The more I understand true humanhood, the more I see it to be sinless, as ignorant of sin as is the perfect maker." This tells us that the mind we now have, when free from hypnotic suggestion, is the mind of God, infinite good, and why we can know that we have sovereign power to think and act rightly. Quote, "The scientific man and his maker are here, and you would be none other than this man if you would subordinate the fleshly perceptions to the spiritual sense and source of being," unquote. Unity of good. To gain the power inherent in our consciousness, we must occupy thought with spiritual concepts. We must argue with our sense of things, since there is nothing out there. Mrs. Eddy, in answering, "Is anything real of which the physical senses are cognizant?" said, "Everything is as real as you make it, and no more so." Unity of good. It is only our sense of things that needs correcting, and it is only through mighty wrestlings with hypnotic suggestion that we sail into the unfathomable sea of possibilities. Does this teaching of the science of being have anything to do with five mortals in Boston who aspire to be, quote, "the tender guardians of our journey heavenward," unquote? Or are the textbook and the Bible our tender guardians? Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Further statements. Daisette McKenzie, CSB, who knew Mrs. Eddy, conceded, "Perhaps we sometimes read Science and Health without a thought about the author. May we not rather realize that we are not only reading the Word of God, but that our communion with infinite good is through the message written by infinite good's scribe?" Mrs. Eddy stated, "It was not myself, my corporeal body, but the divine power of truth and love, infinitely above me, which dictated Science and Health with key to the Scriptures. The prophecy of the apocalypse was fulfilled. A woman had brought forth a child, a textbook and a manual, that was to rule all nations with a rod of iron." As example, unchanging principle, the truth about ourselves as having the mind of infinite good here and now, when rightly viewed, and not influenced by hypnotic suggestion. Unquote. While Mrs. Eddy was editor of the Christian Science Journal, and later while she supervised it, there were often statements definitely indicating that Mrs. Eddy's place in scriptural prophecy was comprehended and appreciated by her and her faithful followers. Paul Stark Seeley, in the book Mary Baker Eddy, A Centennial Appreciation, avers, "Hers was a God-ordered mission, symbolized in Revelation as a woman clothed with the sun, the radiance of spiritual truth, inspired by deific mind to proclaim the message which Christ Jesus said will guide you into all truth." Micah and Zechariah foresaw that two messengers would appear to further and fulfill this divine purpose. The first, Christ Jesus, by the spoken word and mighty proofs of the healing power of God's Word, that the divine purpose demanded a subsequent revelation of truth, the Master made clear in these prophetic words, "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." John, in the 12th chapter of Revelation, reiterates Micah's prophecy that she who travaileth shall bring forth that revelation of eternal truth which shall rule all peoples. Christ Jesus, the first of truth's great messengers to mankind, foretold by the prophets, spake to men as no man had ever spoken. Mrs. Eddy, who had made his teaching her own through the years of study, prayer, and self-immolation, became qualified to be the subsequent messenger of truth foreseen by the prophets.